Thank you for joining us on a beautiful Labor Day weekend. My name is Foster Brown, the producer and co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker and Ed Rudell. And this hour is your hour. That's right. That's the hour that we open up the phone lines. And as Gary and I have been doing for going on 18 years now, we want you to call with your questions so we can take a crack at answering them. 800-859-0957 is the phone number. That's 800-859-0957. Let us hear from you. Thanks once again for joining us here. I'm Foster Brown. Gary Baker and Ed Rudell are in the house here. And Ed, this is you've been our silent partner so far. We're going to have to get you going here. I know that.
I know. I've been doing lots of little reading and stuff. I had to remember some specs that, you know, for one of our callers that's coming up.
Oh, good. Okay. He's been doing research behind the scenes. That's his excuse. But I want to acknowledge Eric Dorsch, our engineer, who is also our screener today. He's been doing a great job for us in getting phone calls lined up. And we've got three folks on the line right now. We're going to start getting into immediately. Here's the phone number, 800-859-0957. First up, hey, Harold, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Yes. I'm interested in converting my mechanical hard drive to a solid state.
Oh, excellent.
Lots of reasons to do that.
Yes, I have that on my laptop, and if anybody is interested, get a refurbished new one with the solid state. It saves you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get a refurbished laptop, and then then with a solid state. Yes, because, yeah. I mean, that's what I did with my wife's laptop, which is now 7 years old. And last year, it was 6 years old, and it was really starting to show its age. It was running Windows 7. I was able to update it to Windows 10, but before that, it was just so slow. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to rebuild it, and so I put a solid-state drive in there, and man, was it fast. It really picked up speed. But there are some precautions you have to do.
Okay.
Like, if you copy the operating system from... If I made a clone of her hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And
Exact copy of everything is on the drive.
Yes, and I copied it. But you cannot really do that. You shouldn't do that unless you take some precautions afterwards, such as you have to tell Windows that you have a solid-state drive, so it limits the number of writes to that drive. Because remember, solid-state drives use a NAND flash technology, like those little flash drives you mm-hmm. have. And if Windows continuously tries to do like a defragmenter once a day or twice a day, you don't need to defrag a solid state hard drive because there's no mechanical motion. So you have to disable that. Otherwise, your drive will probably die in like 4 months.
Oh, I didn't know. Because it has a certain limited number of...
Read-writes. It's not like 10,000 or, you know, or 100,000, 50,000 writes. I don't remember the number.
Wow.
But if I had a 250 gigabyte solid-state drive, you can really only write to it 900 terabytes. At that point, the drive is useless because you've exceeded the number of read-writes on
that drive. Boy, that's very important. So it's not magical. You can instruct it.
Right. So there's some steps you do when you clone a hard drive. But if you install a fresh operating system and you follow the manufacturer's instructions, like with Windows 7, Windows 8, or Windows mm-hmm. 10, Microsoft will identify that, oh, this is a solid state drive, and it will automatically disable those features like defrag and stuff.
Okay,
so Harold, what was your question on this?
Well, I've been having a lot of trouble with my mechanical hard drive,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to change it over. But I'm not going to do it myself. I'm going to take it in and have it done. So there should be no problems that way.
That's true. But you ask them to, are they going to clone it? Or do you want everything from the old one moved to the new?
Correct.
Okay. And some people, hopefully they do. They should. Most mom and pop shops should know this. But just to tell them, are you going to make the modifications to your Windows operating system so my solid-state drive doesn't prematurely die. And,
right.
and as an example, you want to tell them you have to disable the automatic defrag.
Right, right.
Well, I'm thinking about taking it to one of the stores that's on your
there. But still, you're the consumer, and
yes.
I would
right.
still tell just them that. Mention it.
Yeah.
You know, my wife goes, why do you look for trouble like that? I'm like, because I don't want trouble in 4 months.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, what Harold's referring to and is available, not on today's program yet, because I haven't loaded the full show notes in. But after every program, we load the full notes in. And at the very bottom, you'll notice that we have welcome to our network affiliates. And then on the right-hand side, there's something that says trusted local computer repair shops. And this nerdy guy. And if you click on that, you will get a list of the shops shops that you folks have recommended to us.
Yep.
You've gone to Shane, or you've gone on to Livonia, to PC Gladiator, or one of those other, or Toledo, one of those places,
yep.
and you've gotten good service, and you've recommended it. We put those shops in there for you.
And Harold, call us back when you're done with this. We'd
yes.
like to know how it turned out, and how we hopefully your computer will be, you know, like brand new out of the box. It just runs so great, you know. It's just going to be so much faster.
With my laptop, I found that out.
Good, good.
Oh, good for you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Harold. Thank you so much for being with us and for sharing that this holiday weekend. Yeah.
That really helps people like Harold to call in
yep.
that have good advice.
Yep. And when you share your success stories or, you know, things that or places that have worked for you, some shops that have worked for you, boy, that helps so many other people. And that's where I'm just delighted to be part of WJR and this broadcast empire that's been here for my goodness, most of the history of broadcasting. WJR at 760 AM has been commanding the airwaves around here and helping people in many, many different states and Canadian provinces. So that advice goes far and wide. You never know whose ears that's going to be landing on. Let me give you the phone number again. That's 800-859-0957. Helen, we'll be back with you in just a minute. And Joe from Livonia, you too. We've got some other folks on the line. The number is 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Back to answer more of your questions on this holiday weekend. Thanks for joining us here on Hour 2 of the Internet Advisor. Thank you once again for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. Our phone number, 800-859-0957. I promised at the end of the last hour to talk about something that appeared in Berlin. And Gary, you were like 25 different exhibit halls, I think.
That's right, yeah.
That's incredible.
They might be small. You know, it could be like a restroom. No, these are good-sized halls. There's a lot of technology over there coming out of there. I was at the Frankfurt Auto Show, and spread across huge halls, but, you know, 15 of them or something, and it's amazing.
It's called IFA, and it's in Berlin, and it goes everything from computers to refrigerators.
That's right.
And all the technology in between. One that I talked about, Ed, and you looked up online, I was fascinated by, is called the Jet Ultra. It's a $129 drone that apparently is built to be really simple to use. And it's got a camera in it as well.
Excellent.
And you don't have to have an FAA license, apparently.
Because it only goes so high.
Yep.
And you only need a license after
400 feet.
Yeah, after 400 feet. But it's fascinating.
It has to be line of sight. I don't know how you can guarantee you're going to see it.
That's true. I better have the blinking lights on the bottom. That's true.
In any case, that's kind of one of the many neat things that came out of that, if you want to just kind of take a look at that. Okay, let's go to Helen. Helen, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Thanks so much for giving us a call. I'm sorry, Joanne, I beg your pardon. I don't know why I called you Helen. Joanne, are you with us? Hello? Hey, Eric, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this on hold, and she may have been utterly insulted by my calling her by the wrong name. But she had some interesting response there to the experience that she had had getting some advice from Ed.
Right.
Make sure she got back. I think we got it. Okay. Hello. Hi, this is Foster. Welcome to the show. Hi, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
This is Joanne.
Joanne from
Warren. I just wanted to call and thank you because about 3 weeks ago I called you about... I thought I had been scammed because my computer locked up, and then there's, you know, call this number.
Yeah.
You cannot, you know, all that much of stuff. It looked like it was a message from Microsoft, so I called the number, and of course, it cost me money to get my computer fixed.
Yep, it was essentially ransomware, what you ran into.
Yeah, well, you advised me to call my credit card company, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was going to be able to do anything. They wanted me to call the vendor, and I said, I don't want to talk to the vendor. They got him on the line, but they did a three-way conversation, and it took a little doing, but did get them to take the charge off of my charge. Also, you suggested I go to see Shane.
Yes, Shane Hamlin, right.
Mm-hmm. Which I did. He removed everything that they had put on, and
excellent.
I'm home free.
I love that. I
you
love
know,
that.
That's so good because, you know, you feel so bad, like, oh, I've been taken. And you just feel awful about it. And I've dealt with a lot of people that have run across this, even relatives of mine. And it's just awful. I'm like, call the credit card company. They'll work
well. you see, the other thing is they put me on, they gave me like an 18-month security contract, and I kept thinking, well, when this 18 months is up, what are they going to do? Lock up my computer again and charge me some more money, right?
Yes, yes, yeah, that's the scam. You got it.
You're very smart about that.
I really want to commend you, because at the time that you called, I thought, I hope this poor dear lady doesn't think I'm beating up on her when I, you know, reacted
to
you getting hurt.
I was glad to hear what you said. But I got to say, with the charge card company and the other vendor, I did kind of play the age-old lady card.
Good.
Good for you. You've earned it.
Work it.
That's awesome.
I just wanted to
call and thank you very much.
Well, I'm so glad.
And I advise anybody to go to see Shane at 19 and Shaner Comptech. They're very good.
Excellent. Well, that's a great recommendation. And thank you so much for calling back and for sharing that, Joanne.
We'll have Shane in here on what? Next week, I think.
Next week.
I think he's coming back in next week. You know, what I like about that is, and Ed, I think you were the ones, or we've done this over the years, he said kind of, you got to go back to the credit card company. What I find interesting is, and I don't, Gary, does it make sense to you that they made her stay on the line and they did a three-way with the
I've
company?
I've never heard that, it worked for her.
Good for her.
It was probably because of the 18-month contract. If it was a one-time charge,
right.
She probably could have disputed it, but because there was probably an 18-month contract, you know, a little more complicated, I would imagine.
Well,
speculation.
Smart.
She is cagey. I love that. We're going to have to come up with another Joanne badge, maybe. We have an Alice badge. Now we're going to have to come up with a Joanne badge for doing that. I love that. Great moxie for doing that kind of thing. Congratulations to you. And I'm so glad that the advice we gave is something that can help you. So, by the way, just as a small footnote here, if you have been caught, like Joanne, and you spent the money, don't despair. It's not all over. You can get help. And she fought through it and got her money back, and in addition to that, was able to get a computer that was completely clean as well. And by the way, Shane is coming in next week. We'll talk to him about that experience as well. Okay, let's go back to our phone lines. And Joe from Livonia, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Got a couple of questions in regards to the website and podcasting and download. Of what am I downloading to get podcast off the App Store? When I sit there and I click on the App Store logo at the top of the page, your page, it moves to the top like it's going into the URL bar, but nothing else happens.
Hmm.
When I sit there and I click on podcast, especially Podcast Detroit, it only has up to show 1621.
Yes, yes. We had two things, Joe. Let me back up for a second. You're right. We did not know this, but discovered that we had thought that a lot of the content from our shows was being put up almost automatically on Podcast Detroit, and it was not. And I have to take the blame for that.
I'm telling your mommy.
Thank you very much. I'm in the process of correcting that right now, and hopefully within the next week or so, I will have sent them all of the past programs so that you can go on to Podcast Detroit and get it. Now, let's go step back, though, because every week I publish the podcast through iTunes.
Right.
So you should be able to get the podcast through, subscribe to iTunes and get it through iTunes.
Right, but am I going through iTunes or am I going through the App Store to get an app to do that?
No, you would go through iTunes, I believe, to get that.
Yeah, you just subscribe to the iTunes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, on the top, there is a WJR a banner up there, of course, that points to the App Store that has nothing to do with the iTunes publication or our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You would get it.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying that the WJR thing would allow me to listen to you live when I'm out and about.
Yes, correct. Exactly. And it would also allow you, it's really beautiful the way that works. We're not connected to it directly because of a number of things, but in any case, that's also where you can hear, for instance, some of the podcasts for other programs here, like, you know, the Frank Beckman Show or
go to the App Store, try and download the app, the only thing that I can find is something called Aircast Incorporated, that only gives me a calendar, which is dated, the most recent date is 2013.
Yeah. What I would suggest, how do you get podcasts, Gary? Do you use the Apple Podcast app?
I do that sometimes, and I just go to the to the podcast itself.
Yeah.
Play it through the browser.
Right. And at the bottom of our page, by the way, if you go all the way down to the bottom of our page,
right,
just above the comments, you'll see a little arrow down there where you can actually click on and listen to the program there. If you go to the end of that line there, it says Hide Player, Play and Papa, or Download. And you can click on the download there, and you can download the entire show from our Internet Advisor podcast. That's in the show notes.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to access programs that I have missed.
Okay. And that would
be... The one from last week is still not online. Are you aware of that?
No, it should be. I was put up.
Okay, because I click on it and I get the OAV not again.
I'm going to try it. Because I'd like to.
Yeah, because I just downloaded it Tuesday when it became available.
Yeah.
Because we had the Gary Burns Third Degree Burns on.
Yes, that's right.
And I sent him that link. So exactly. I do know that the link at least worked Tuesday.
From our site.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing is up there. I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact. That was the one I was looking at when I said download. So, Joe, you could go to the show from last week, which is the podcast 1643, August 26th.
Right.
Back to
what I clicked on.
Okay.
And that's when I get the podcast 1643, Back to School.
Yep.
But I get the OAV picture,
mm-hmm,
and I scroll down from there.
All the way to the bottom.
Okay.
And at the very bottom, before you see the column, the box that says leave a reply, just above that, you'll see it's a rather thin line that it says there, podcast 1643, and it gives the date, title, et cetera. Gives the full length of time, and then
I was so small I didn't even see it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why they do that. It drives me absolutely batty that they do that. The other thing you can do, by the way, and that's why I asked Gary what he uses for... Do you listen to podcasts regularly, Ed?
No, I do not.
Okay. You can use, for instance, Apple has the podcast... if you're on an iPhone, it has the podcast.
Well, I've got an iPad Pro. I don't have a phone.
Okay. Well, but Apple...
It'll still work. Yeah,
it'll still work. Has its own podcast app that you can use, and then you would just go through the iTunes store, and look for, I think it's called Internet Advisor Feed, I think it's called.
Okay,
the word feed is on the end of it.
I put in Internet Advisor, and nothing came up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't like wildcards. You have to put that last one in there, which I think you're right, Foster. I think it is Feed or...
Yeah.
Is it Internet Advisor Show? Boy,
I think
all of our memories are failing.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, you can get it there. The other thing you can do is this. I use I prefer another podcast aggregator called Overcast or Downcast, pardon me. There's a number of them that are out there that I think work a whole lot better than the Apple one does. But you can use almost any of them, and you can then sign up for ours. I also listen to a lot of the ones from Leo Laporte, This Week in Texas.
The aggregator you just talked about, Downcast, is that on the app site?
The Apple site? Apple App Store?
I believe it is. I would have to go back and look at it right now. I haven't got them in front of me. But
is it Downcast spelled the regular way, or is it Downcast with a K?
You know what? No, it's with a C. I'll look. We're going into a break in just a minute, Joe. And what I do when I come back, I will look that up and make sure that I give you the exact address of that, or name, I should say.
Your homework assignment is.
And then I'll let you know that, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much for asking that. Yeah, it's important, folks. We do our very best to get, because not everybody can listen to all the program at the time. I use podcasts a lot during the week to listen to content that I like. And what I'll do is we're going to take a quick break with Eric, and then when we come back, we've got some other folks we're going to be talking to. Cassie from Livonia will be there with us as well, and some of the other folks. And the number is 800-859-0957. Thanks for joining us. Back in just a moment with the Internet Advisor. Thank you again for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. Eric, you're doing a great job. He is juggling grenades behind the screen. He is on his own back there doing a wonderful job. Gary and Ed and I are here in studio answering questions as they come in. Okay, Joe from Livonia. Here's what I found. There are podcasts for those of you who enjoy listening to them, as I do. You can kind of delay listening to a program. You don't have to listen to it by appointment at a certain time. That's what I like about it, Ed.
Right.
And for instance, when I'm walking the dog, I could be making a meal. It could be almost anything. It allows me to just enjoy. I love TED Talks, for instance. And I get to just kind of gobble up a lot of information that way. And applications that I've used that I really enjoy are Overcast, and one's called it's an aggregator. You can use it to gather a lot of podcasts together. You go to overcast.fm, and I don't think I saw that cost anything. Overcast is that application.
And what usually happens if you can't find it in the store, when you go to the website, they'll provide a link that links it to the store so that you can make sure you have the correct app that you're downloading, because there's so many with similar names.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, the other one, by the way, Joe, is called Downcast, and you will find that on the App Store, the Apple App Store, and it costs $7.99, roughly $8. But that is the one I believe I found just had great features to it. Look at the reviews on it and see what you think about it. Okay, we have someone with us right now, as a matter of fact, who is responding to some of Joe's questions. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, who's this?
This is Ben.
Hi, Ben. Oh, hey, Ben. How you doing? Good talking to you.
I'm doing good. I wanted to comment on the last fellow's comments about not being able to get last week's podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I've got it up right now so that it was going. And then I had to shut it down to listen to the program.
A two-fisted listener. What do you use? Go ahead.
I went to the last week's show, and down at the bottom, it said read more, listen to more, or something like that effect.
Yeah.
And when I clicked on that, I got everything about the show, and down near the bottom was a place to click on the podcast.
Yep. It's a little, the way the website is laid out, it's a little confusing. I wish it had better buttons on it. And by the way, for some of you,
where's the buttons?
Buttons.
For Willy Wonka, who just recently passed.
Yeah.
Buttons, where's the buttons?
Oh,
Gene
my
Wilde.
Goodness. The Gene Wilde passed, yep.
I'm such a downer.
No, that's all right. Last week, shortly after the program, as a matter of fact, I had to go into the hospital for some problems I was having and didn't get out until Monday afternoon. So we were delayed a lot getting the edit in and getting it up online, but it's up there now. And hopefully we won't
it's
delay that anymore.
Definitely up there.
Yep.
It's definitely up there now. In fact, I just clicked on the link to that, and it scrolled down, and it's right there.
Well, see, I think the problem is our previous caller's a Mac user. They need help sometimes.
Ooh, ouch, that hurts.
Well, Cal isn't here to defend him. And Joe, I'm just teasing.
I won't comment on that because I never used a Mac. I don't understand anything about them.
It's all friendly bantering between Cal and I.
Ben, have a great Labor Day weekend, and thanks so much for giving us a call.
Yeah, we're going to a tractor show tomorrow.
All right, that's wonderful.
Great weekend.
Is this
going to
be a steampunk kind of thing? You have steam engines, right?
There won't be any steam engines at the one we're going to. It's at Gibsonburg, Ohio, and it's called Scrap, and they don't have any steam engines, but they have a lot of tractors and other things that I enjoy going to.
Oh, Ben Carpenter with us from down near Adrian. He's a farmer, working farm down there, and is also it's just really tuned into computers. And Ben, thanks so much for listening and for calling in as well.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. You're a wonderful guy. He and Grandma have been in studio with us.
And his daughter came in, too.
Yes, that's right. His daughter came in at one time. It was just a ball. Okay, let's go to Dan and Warren. Dan, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, guys.
How can we help you?
Well, I have a Dell Tower PC,
mm-hmm.
and it's running Windows 7.0 Professional.
Okay.
And a couple weeks ago, I made a recovery disk CD.
Yeah.
And now, when I boot it up, I get reboot and select proper device, or insert boot media and select a boot and device, and press a key.
So you created a recovery media, and luckily you did, and then your hard drive crashed.
Well, it didn't crash, but when I started up, so I go through this, I get this message, and then I hit Control-Alt-Delete, and then it boots up normal.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
So it defaults to the boot up disk instead of defaulting back to his hard drive.
I think that's what's happening.
Did you remove the disk that you created out of the tray?
Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if the BIOS, it sounds like the BIOS settings, boot order got changed somehow.
But if it's nothing in there, it should skip it.
That's right. It should go immediately.
It should go immediately.
Now, is it possible, now I don't have a floppy drive on it, it just has a DVD or a CD drive. Is it possible it's looking for a floppy drive?
No. The BIOS wasn't there. If it's a computer you're running Windows 7, it's a Dell, and I mean, why did you create the recovery media now? Did you suspect was something going on where you thought maybe your computer was going to fail and maybe you should?
No, it's just that, you know, I never made one, and I figured it's probably a good time to do one.
Actually, that's very smart of you.
Yeah,
that's good. So, and I'm not sure. So, on a Dell, when you power it up, you can tap the F12 key. And when you power it up, and that'll bring you the ability to select a start menu that says, do you want to boot off your hard drive, your CD, a USB flash drive, a floppy drive, or do you wish to go into setup? And I believe there's also the option of run diagnostics.
Okay.
So you might want to select one of those to either run diagnostics, and it'll test your hard drive to see if it's about ready to fail.
Okay. How long have you had this?
I'm sorry. And do it again, and then put it back to.
It's about 2 years old, guys.
Oh, it's 2 years old. That shouldn't be.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So run diagnostics, and then also possibly run the Windows and check your hard drive for disk errors. And when I said you tapped F12, that's like the universal key for Dell. And when you press F12, you can not only run diagnostics. Not only can you change, like I said, what device do you wish to boot off of, but you can also go into the BIOS setup and you can check your boot order of your devices.
So, all right, what should the boot order be in as far as devices? Because again, this doesn't have a floppy drive; it only has the DVD or CD drive.
Well, it has the CD drive. Okay, so it should be something like USB, CD, and then hard drive.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Something like that. Yep. Right. I mean, that way, if your computer does crash, at least if you stick a flash drive in there with your recovery media or a CD or a DVD.
Do you think there's something going on with the CD drive?
It could be, and that's why you could take and change it and then make sure you change it back.
You could change your boot order, because when you hit F12, that's a one-time only, and you're not changing anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need to go into the BIOS setup. Which should be available through F12.
Yeah.
Okay. Every time I do this, it always boots up correctly when I hit Control-Alt-Delete.
I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Mm. Yeah.
Power supply, maybe? That's strange.
I just leave it running now.
And let it go to sleep?
Well, that works all right.
I've heard other people had comments about that, and they said, well, that's, you know, when you turn off a computer and turn it back on, that's probably the hardest thing on the hard drive.
What's the hardest thing on the power supply?
Yeah,
not necessarily.
Not the hard drive.
I mean, what's your advice? I mean, do you leave it running all the time or not?
I do too.
I do too. No, and Cal has scolded. I have a Mac, and Cal has scolded me because I don't ever. I had not ever shut it off, and he said you can reset with a Mac at least.
Yeah,
that if you reset the thing, you can also.
I do mine at least once a weekend, just so I get the Microsoft security updates.
And I'm doing that too myself.
I try to do mine at least once every quarter.
Whenever we release our financial results.
Yeah.
So I would still go into your hard drive and check to see if you're running disk, if you have any disk errors. Microsoft will not tell you. So you go into that by selecting My Computer, and then you'll see your C drive there. You right mouse click on your C drive, and you want to look at the properties of your C drive.
Okay.
And then you have a Tools tab at the, you'll have a multi-tabular window that comes up, General. One of them's Tools.
Okay.
When you select Tools, you'll have the ability to check my disk drive for errors. And then it'll say, well, I can't do that right now. Would you like to schedule it on the next time you reboot your computer? Yes. Okay. Yes, please. And then you reboot your computer, and it'll take 45 minutes, half an hour, you know, to run that. Just let it run that disk check.
Okay.
And hopefully if it identifies something, or it'll repair it, and this problem will go away.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a shot.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, guys. Have a good holiday.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. All right.
Once a quarter, Gary.
As you said, with the financial record, come on. All right. KC from Grosse Pointe, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you on this holiday weekend?
Hey, happy holiday weekend to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Happy to you.
Foster, it's been quite a while since I talked to you. I think the last time I talked to you was my wife's 286 computer. She was actually typing faster than it could process it.
Oh, my word.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yes, I think it has been.
We've only been on for 18 and a half years, and you have been one of the first in the first year.
And I want to make sure that you have upgraded at least a couple times since then.
I made her upgrade. She got me. That's the biggest upgrade she could get.
Oh, dear.
I've got a comment and a question for you.
Sure.
First of all, my comment is I think the next big internet gazillionaire is going to be the guy that invents the reverse ransom app, you know, so one of these Russians or Albanians or whoever's on the internet trying to hack into these major companies or even these little old ladies.
Yeah.
They get zapped with a reverse ransom,
I
and
love
all of a sudden their computers get locked.
You know, Casey, hang on. Well, keep on talking because I think I saw an article recently. Hey, did you see that? And Gary, about...
Oh, I don't listen to as many podcasts as you do, Foster. I'm sorry.
All right. snark.
But that would be great if you could actually send something.
Oh, here it is. Here's a story. It was called "A Wildfire Ransom Code Has Been Cracked. Victims Can Now Unlock Encrypted Files for Free." That came out on ZDNet, I think, earlier on this week. It's about the wildfire locker payment page. Anyway, so apparently somebody is attacking them.
Yeah, there are four different types of ransomware encryption programs, and wildfire is one of them. So that's good that they actually found the keys to unlock people's encrypted data on their hard drive. And it varies. Usually it's $50 to $150 to unlock so you get your data back. And in most, I can't say most because you're dealing with thieves and crooks, but most of the time when you pay the money, they give you the keys and you can recover your data.
Yeah.
So it's not doing what our caller was suggesting. What it's doing is allowing us to unlock it.
He
would like us to turn around and reverse charge.
Like we used to do in the old days when we used to have the people that would call our home phones.
Oh,
we'd have the blowhorn.
Yes,
and we'd blow it into the mouthpiece.
Or the whistle, the police whistle.
Yeah, the police whistle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a great certain amount of satisfaction.
I was going to say, I've got a question, though.
Sure.
My question is, we're coming with biometric signatures and authenticity.
Yeah.
And it's with, I'm guessing now it's going to have to be with cell phones because they are like having computers.
Oh, absolutely.
But every computer, every cell phone, I don't know if you guys know that, like in India, they're taking blood samples, fingerprints, DNA for every person in the country. And I'm guessing they're going to go towards everybody having a chip. And it's like that car with the key and the chip. You can't operate the car. You can't start the car. You can't have access to the internet superhighway without this chip. So it's basically verifying who's on what handheld or computer device. And I think we're kind of going that way in the sense of authenticity for, you know, who's on what computer, who's on what cell phone. And if you think about it, that kind of eliminates the crime of stealing cell phones and computers because you can't operate it without the chip.
That's a tough sell in America. I tell you, Casey, hang on a second. I can put you on hold. We got to take a quick break, and we come back on the other side. I want to talk a little bit more about this, guys, about the whole notion of security in the future, because it's changing rapidly. It's changing incredibly fast, so that, you know, passwords are soon maybe passe because we're going to have to use biometrics for it. Back in just a second, we've got Casey and we've got Don in Ortonville. We'll be back to wrap things up here on the Internet Advisor in just a merry moment. It has been a pleasure being with you here on this holiday weekend. Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Riddell, starting in the next few programs. Some folks will be on vacation, et cetera, and MSU football is coming around. So our schedule starts to shift, and I can only ask you to be sure. One of the ways you can do keep up with where we are and whether we're on a podcast or on live will be to watch internetadvisor.net, and I'll post as much information there as I can ahead of time, or go to our Facebook page, and you'll find the Internet Advisor on the Facebook page there, and we'll put the schedules in there, too, so you're aware of the times that we're live or that you can get hold of us on podcasts. Because starting really this month of September and going until the end of March Madness in 2017, MSU Sports, WJR is a flagship station for MSU Sports, along with the Detroit Lions, but particularly for MSU Sports, means that we often get shifted around, to put it politely. And what that means is notice that we're going to continue to broadcast because, for instance, we have a whole system of affiliates that count on being able to get our program. And we're delighted to be able to continue to do that. But for the regular listeners like yourself and Ben and some other people and the folks that we've been talking with this afternoon, remember that you can go to internetadvisor.net and then scrolling down the bottom of the page, you should be able to click on that podcast and download it for that day. And we'll be doing some more things during this fall to make sure that that's a little clearer for you to be able to see where the podcast downloads are. All right, I want to go back out, guys, to Casey. Casey, you were asking a question about security and where we're headed with security. And I already found that, for instance, Dropbox had this mess where they lost, what was it, 68 million users. The information, I think, was lost in 2012.
That's, well, not lost, but stolen or hacked.
Stolen, yeah, it was hacked.
Right.
And the fact is, though, that there was a second level of hashing and salting that secured the information. So I recently got the notice, hey, you've been hacked in there. So the what Dropbox is asking me to do is then to use the dual identification. You know, that so you get in two pieces of information. That's one way, Casey, of handling it. But what you're asking about, I think, is probably
probably not too far down the road. You know, some type
biometrics.
Of yeah.
Well, it's utilizing your retinal scans, fingerprints, or whatever. Everything that's been encoded on that chip. But you're going to really eliminate, the burner phones. And, I mean, it doesn't matter to old folks like us because we've already ceded privacy to the millennials that, they got the Facebook and the Twitter and everything. So they don't care about their privacy. But it is a very big brother Orwellian in the sense that, security means having literally no privacy.
Would you guys be comfortable?
Cameras everywhere. It's just going to be, is it going to be a safer or is it going to be a bigger brother state?
Let me ask a question to the guys here. Ed and Cal, would you be comfortable with that, of having all that information about you, all of your data, your blood type, fingerprint, and everything else?
Well, it's already out there.
It's, done. What are we debating it for?
Stored in one place that it can be accessed, I don't know.
It's already there.
So what?
The marketing people do it. I mean, all the information is out there on me right now. But and someone has it. Probably 50 people have it. Not only my employer, but marketing, the U.S. government, other governments. Yeah, it's already out there.
And that is where I think, Casey, it's not so much we've ceded to the millennials, but is this saying, as you guys have said.
You know what I want? I want my medical records all in one spot,
I agree.
I'd like to be able to carry it around so when I go somewhere. And they say, I'm sorry, we haven't merged those records yet.
Having come from an ER experience this last weekend, I can agree with you 100%. And
I'd like to have a common platform, something I can carry with me that was my medical record, so anywhere. But then again, I'm sorry, we don't have that reader for you. We haven't upgraded our systems to accommodate. So because technology is in such flux right now, there's so much information out there, so many innovations.
You've dealt with this, Gary, in terms of your work as a CTO, was it CIO or
CIO?
CSISO. The whole business of protecting medical records is a huge, huge issue.
Right. And to give all the records to me, that'd be difficult too, because we have to sign that paperwork all the time for our physicians to be able to share that information with another physician.
But I think the government, our government, and we're a little behind some other governments in Europe, that's our information. We have a right to it. Right now, it's hard for them to give it to us, but that's where we're heading.
Yeah, and the other thing, by the way, you mentioned, Casey, and for the rest of our folks, I'm going to move on to a couple other people before we wrap up here. But, for instance, Microsoft has got this Hello technology, which is coming out, or is out already, I think, on Windows 10? Yeah, the anniversary edition. Remember that, Ed? That they had that
I'm drawing a complete blank. What is it?
It's the retinal. It's the retinal recognition. In other words, you can look at the camera on a Windows 10 laptop.
But it's set up for that. Yeah, most people haven't used it.
But it's in the software. It will look at your retina.
Yeah.
And that's still being perfected, but that's now one step further.
So, and the point is that you're going to access that information in the cloud about you from many different devices.
Yeah.
So for a biomedical kind of device, fingerprints, is that going to matter a whole lot at some point when you're using multiple different devices? Maybe not. But it is in flux right now.
Very interesting. Very interesting question, Casey, and certainly the cutting edge of where technology is heading right now. Thanks for giving us a call.
Jack, have a great weekend, guys.
All right, take care.
Happy Labor Day to you.
That's right. Happy Labor Day weekend. Okay, let's get to Don from Ortonville. Make sure that we say hello to you and give you a chance to ask your question. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
I'm terrific. How about you?
Good. What can we do for you?
I don't know. Let's see. I had a problem with the memory in my computer. I finally my computer just kept losing video. It would go to black screen. I finally traced it down to my memory after taking my video card out, going through everything else, checking loose plugs, blah, blah, blah. Replaced the memory. Now I have a drive that says it's write protected and that I can't do anything with it. It's got a file problem because of the way the computer was shutting down.
Is this a USB flash drive? Is this an internal
hard drive? No, it's a hard drive. It's a hard drive that's used for storage, mainly for video file.
Okay. And you're trying to access it.
It's not my C drive, but it shows up on my computer.
Right.
It shows up in Windows. When I try to access it with the storage tools, I can get to it. But when I try to do a take it off of Write Protect, because it says it needs a, why can't I remember the phrase? It needs check disk run on it. When I try to run check disk, it tells me it's Write Protected and I can't run check disk. Excuse me. So
yeah, that doesn't sound good.
I do a command prompt as an administrator,
mm-hmm.
and I run disk part to bring up that. And when I get to that point, my command prompt just sits there with a cursor flashing. It never brings up disk part.
Oh,
after
really?
After I type in disk part, after that, it just sits there with the flasher going.
It really sounds like your hard drive is failing. It's on the way out. As soon as you type in disk part in a command prompt, the first thing it does is it scans your computer and tries to inventory all the hard drives. I mean, the hard drive is about ready to fail. It sounds like it's already failed.
What I probably should do then is disconnect each hard drive one at a time, especially that one, to see if that's the one that's
definitely
causing me the problem.
Yep, I think so.
Don, let's do this. Why don't you, after the program is over, go to the bottom of our page. You've got a comment section there. Put your question in there and send that off, and Ed will pick that up during the week and can spend some time chewing on that. Okay?
Not a problem. I'll do that.
Thank you, sir.
I'll also go through them one at a time.
All right, thank you.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, this makes really good sense. All right, guys, thanks so much for being here. Eric, you have done a yeoman's job back there. Thank you so much, Eric Dorch. And thank you, Gary and Ed. We'll see you folks back here on the Internet Advisor next week.